In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, please be seated. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep, for you will laugh. These are the words we heard from the gospel today, Luke's version of the Beatitudes. Beatitude comes from a Latin word beati, which means blessed. It's these words that where Jesus talks about in the sermon about what it means to be blessed. Now, most of us might be more familiar with Matthew's version of the Beatitudes. Matthew's version's a lot more soft. He kind of backs off a little more indirect, and he says, blessed are you who are poor in spirit. He kind of is a little bit more indirect. Luke really just hits you with it. He says, blessed are you. And he doesn't mince words. Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who are hungry. Blessed are you who weep. When we think of things that are blessings or people that we would call blessed, it's probably the last thing that would come to mind. Poverty, hunger, grief. But what's interesting is, why does Jesus say this? And I think Jesus talks about this because he's making the point that when you're going through a time of struggle, grace becomes even sweeter. Now, you think about it. If you think about $1,000, does it mean more for a person who's a billionaire or a person who is homeless? Of course, it means more to the person who has nothing. Because when you have little, what you are given is even greater. But today is a major feast of the church. We're celebrating All Saints. We bring out the white, we bring out the incense, as I hear some of you are still feeling. And we remember all these people that the church has talked about for centuries, these saints, these people who are up in our clear story windows up here, these men and women who have made a difference in the world. These are people who are examples of Christian life and who are instruments of God's grace. These are the people that Jesus talks about that they were the ones who alleviated poverty. They are the ones who fed the hungry, and they are the ones who comforted the mourning. And Jesus ends this gospel reading with a pretty powerful statement. He says, but I say to you that listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. He's getting really personal here, isn't he? And he goes on, he says, if anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. And then Jesus says those words that we often call the golden rule. He says, do to others as you would have them do to you. Now, these words seem a little unnatural. They're counterintuitive. Because honestly, if someone smacks you on the cheek, what are you likely to want to do? Hit them back, right? But that's the actual opposite of what Jesus is telling us to do. Returning good for evil. And the saints, these people we remember, are people who did what should have seemed unnatural. These were people who were known for putting aside hatred and malice and embracing forgiveness. These are people who were known for putting aside greed and distrust and embracing generosity. This radical message of reconciliation, it's probably a good message to remember in this very last week of election season, how we go forward in the weeks to come. But something to remember about the saints is this. The saints were not perfect people. Now we look up and we see these stained glass figures, and they look beautifully dressed, and they're clean, and they have their halos, and we just think, wow, you know, they must have been just above human beings. But the reality was, they were not those figures in real life. The saints were flawed human beings just like us. The saints were sinners just like we are. Some of these people did things we would probably cringe knowing that they did. Some of these people were not well liked in their time. What makes the saints different is that they were those who answered the call of God. That's what makes them special. Not that they attained lofty virtues, but that they were people just like us, just like we are, and they went where God called them to go. I think that really makes them relatable too, because we remember that they're just people. It's what makes Christianity possible, that it's all within our reach. It's not that we are called to be perfect, or to do what normal human beings cannot do. We are called simply to follow Christ and serve God's people. And that's it. We, you and me, we are called to be the saints of the church today. St. Paul said in his letter to the Ephesians, "I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. For this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers." Paul here is talking about saints. He doesn't mean those who lived in ages past. There weren't ages past. The church was new. He was talking about sisters and brothers in Christ sitting next to them in church. Now today, not only is All Saints Day, but happens to be our Stewardship Sunday, the day that we're turning in our pledge cards, and of course, as the preacher, I have to put in my final stewardship pitch, right? Well, one of the things that ties the saints together through all ages has been the church. Now, at times the saints have challenged the ideas of the church. Sometimes they were really critical of the church. But when you look at all these people in ages past, worship, prayer, and gathering have always been part of the lives of the saints. I mean, you think about these well-known figures of history. Can you imagine St. Francis or John Wesley or Mother Teresa or even a contemporary like Desmond Tutu? Can you imagine these people without the church? We simply can't. Now today, of course, we live in a society that is really skeptical of institutions. And something to remember is that the church is bigger than a human institution. It's the body of Christ, the gathering of the faithful. And if we are today to be saints of the church and saints of the world, we must also be caretakers of the body of Christ, caretakers of the church. What does this mean? It means that we have to recognize our own ministries, our own ways that we serve. And must support others in their own ministries. And when I look around this church, I see a lot of really amazing ministry going on. Ministry that all of you practice. I see lay preachers who are proclaiming the Word of God and feeding me spiritually. I see people who are serving in the soup kitchen and feeding the hungry. I see Eucharistic visitors who go out and take communion to those who are homebound and giving them company. I see group leaders who gather fellow sisters and brothers in Christ together for prayer. These are very valuable ministries. And this is what it means to be the church. It is to listen to God's call and use your gifts. Of course, the reality is that supporting one another also means supporting this foundational thing, supporting the church. It's the umbrella that we're under. It's the vehicle by which we do all of these things. It means sharing our gifts, both our abilities and resources. You know, as many of you know, about 12 years ago, I was a missionary in Venezuela, and I had a woman when I was kind of in a little bit of a more rural area. I had a woman who used to come, and she ran a produce stand, and she'd bring me produce all the time. And I said to her one day, I said, "Maria, I don't know what I'm going to do with all this fruit." And she says, "Oh, you sound like Father Salazar." And I go, "Oh?" And she goes, "Yeah, he used to always tell me the church doesn't eat bananas." Okay, well, fair enough. But you know, the church cannot continue without our sharing of our abilities and resources. It simply can't. Let me ask all of you, show of hands, who here wants to see us balance our budget next year? Just about everybody. I hope everybody. All right, how do we do that? How do we balance the budget next year? I hear somebody. Yeah. What, by not being so, well, that's good. Did I hear something back here? Help pay on the expenses, right. We all have to chip in. You know, we're called as Christians to give, to tithe. As a church, we tithe. We know the answer, right? Who wants to see us grow and expand our ministries next year? Show of hands. Everybody, right? How do you do that? By having resources. What else? By all what? Helping each other. There's also a good I word. Remember this one? I-N. I-N-V. Invitation. Thank you. So we know the answer about how we take care of the church. These are the things that can only happen if each and every one of us shares the gifts that we have been so abundantly blessed with. Now, we are the saints of the church today. And like the saints of all the times, the saints of today have been given gifts and called to use them. Just like all these people in our windows, we are called to follow Christ and to serve his people. We are called to use our gifts to be a blessing to the poor, to be a blessing to the hungry, to be a blessing to those who mourn. We are called to use our gifts to be a voice of reconciliation to this sinful and broken world. And we are called as saints of the church to see out, to use our gifts to see God's kingdom flourish on earth today. Amen.